I've entitled my part of this morning, Fortune Favors the Prepared. And of course, we have this humorous saying that Jerry invoked, and we laugh, and we can afford to because we did win. One of the great lessons of Hanukkah is that God has often given victory to the few over the many, to the feeble over the mighty. But what I want you to do is think about the interval of time between when they tried to kill us and we won. The prophet Daniel, in chapter 11 of his visions, writing centuries earlier, foretold the events surrounding the meteoric rise to power of Alexander of Macedon, otherwise known as Alexander the Great, and how upon his death his great kingdom would be parceled out to four of his generals and become separate kingdoms. Two of those kingdoms in particular would continually war against each other, and that, of course, was the Seleucid kingdom to the north in Syria and the Ptolemies in Egypt. From the Seleucid Empire, one particularly evil tyrant would ascend, who we now know as Antiochus IV, who would wage war against us and put many Jews to death in his attempt to eradicate the faith of our fathers. It was Antiochus who put a stop to the daily sacrifice and desecrated the altar in the Beit HaMikdash by sacrificing unclean animals in it and erecting a statue of Zeus in the holy place. And I have a sneaking suspicion that statue of Zeus just coincidentally looked a lot like Antiochus. Thankfully, the family of Mattathias, which came to be known as Maccabee, rallied the people to form an army, and eventually we prevailed against this tyrant and his wicked forces. You see, the real miracle of Hanukkah is that this tiny ragtag Jewish army, vastly outnumbered, vastly outgunned, eventually gained victory and independence for the Jewish people. They recaptured the temple, cleaned it, rededicated it to the sole worship of the God of Israel. What I would like to emphasize this morning is that there are sobering lessons we need to learn from the historical events that led up to the Maccabean Revolt. Why? Because it's going to happen all over again. And it will be even worse this time. This isn't opinion. This is biblical prophecy. And it isn't one person's interpretation of prophecy. It was declared by Yeshua and by Rabbi Paul in plain terms. Now, here's a list of the dire circumstances Messiah foretold. This is just a short list. This is not everything. False messiahs will proliferate. False prophets will proliferate. And many will fall victim to their false miracles and their false teachings. Yeshua said, "See to it that no one misleads you," when asked about the events preceding his return. First words out of his mouth, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and will mislead many. For false messiahs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance." I know it's Hanukkah and it's Christmas. We're all about good cheer, but we need to be sober about this as well. It's coming back. It's coming back. What else did Yeshua say would happen? He said that wars will increase. Famines will increase. Earthquakes will increase. And again, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Well, what else did Yeshua tell us in that discourse on top of the Mount of Olives? He said that followers of Yeshua will be hated worldwide. Isn't that just so fun? His followers will be hated worldwide. He also said that followers of Yeshua will be rounded up and many of us put to death. And he also said that many will abandon the faith and even turn informant on other believers. Again, don't take my word for it. Yeshua said, then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. What else did Yeshua tell us about the last days? He told us that rampant criminal behavior will characterize the world. And because of this rampant lawlessness, it will cause people to lose their love and to become cold-hearted, to protect themselves. And again, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. I hope that's all of us, that we will stand firm to the end. And Yeshua said these things more than once in Matthew chapter 10. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Wow. Thank you. That's not exactly the assignment I was hoping for. Nevertheless, he's the master. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. He went on, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. And of course, that's my hope for us, my prayer for us. And that's essentially the message that I have. Listen to Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Concerning the coming of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy or report or letter supposed or ostensibly to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. So apparently people were going to write false letters in Paul's name in order to deceive. He said, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Whoa, didn't we hear that somewhere else? Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come, here we go, until the apostasy occurs first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Well, there has to be a temple for that to happen. There has to be a man of sin, and all of these things are going to happen. And see how this fits with the Apostle John's vision recorded in Revelation chapter 15. The dragon, Satan, stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. It's 3.5 years. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place, and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. And this is what he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Let's back up. Both Jeremiah and Daniel prophesied these things centuries earlier. The dire situation on earth and the great persecution that was to come at the end of the age. Hear his words. This is what Daniel says. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as has never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. I realize that a message like this isn't exactly what people expect on a festive day like Hanukkah. But considering the history behind this holiday, how can we not take to heart the need to prepare ourselves for what is to come? History repeats itself, and Scripture makes clear that what happened in the time of the Maccabees will happen again, and that it will be worse. But now let me bring us back to Yeshua's first words in that Olivet Discourse. See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will mislead many. For false messiahs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If false prophets and false teachers and adverse circumstances at the end of the age will be so bad that even the elect are not immune to deception, and Yeshua seemed to suggest it, then how do we make sure we're not among the deceived? If lawlessness will be so bad at the end of the age that most people will become loveless, then how do we make sure our love endures? The first step, I believe, is to understand that this is a war of attrition. Consider this. The goal of Antiochus and the Seleucid dynasty was the eventual complete Hellenization of the Jewish people. But as you look at the history, it was executed incrementally. The worship of the Greek pantheon of gods began as a voluntary matter. Many Jewish people adopted Greek customs and began to leave their Jewish heritage behind, telling themselves, well, it's a matter of diplomacy. And it's the best course of action in order for us to get along with this government and to have peace and safety. Soon enough, however, what began as voluntary came to be expected socially. And soon enough, what had been socially expected became enshrined in law, mandatory. And those laws forbade us to act in accordance with our conscience and in accord with the Word of God. Those laws forbade circumcision and Jewish religious observance, and violation of those laws brought the death penalty. If you don't guard yourself against the devious nature of incremental compromise, you will end up part of the great apostasy of which Yeshua and Rabbi Paul warned. So what can you and I do to avoid this gradual slide into apostasy? It's simple. It's simple. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy, but it is not complicated. Decide where, right now, decide what you believe, and decide right now where you draw your boundaries. Ask yourself whether you are prepared or not to forfeit your life rather than forsake your faith. Ask yourself even now. One thing is for sure. If you wait until there's a moral crisis to try to figure out where you've drawn your lines, you probably will not endure. There's no magic pill that you can take, no blue pill, to endow you with perseverance and to give you victory. In the area of sporting contest, natural talent is very helpful, but it only takes you so far. Perseverance and victory usually comes to the team or the individual who is better conditioned. It's true. Victory is usually the result of a lifestyle of discipline and diligent training, not luck or chance. It's true in every field. The famous chemist, Dr. Louis Pasteur, said a little sarcastically, "Fortune favors the prepared mind." It's just a sarcastic way of saying it ain't luck, it's work, it's preparation. If you hope to endure in the coming tribulation, that it's time to get into spiritual shape, and I'm going to be your coach this morning. I'm going to tell you to get up off your tuchus spiritually and get to work. It's time to get into spiritual shape. And it means nurturing the spiritual disciplines of prayer, quieting your soul and seeking God, of reading and studying the scriptures daily and diligently, of gathering together with God's people, not when you feel like it, but at the appointed time, for mutual strengthening, for worship, and the discipline of evangelism, of which Jerry eloquently spoke. All of these things contribute to spiritual strength. And unless I've completely misread the scriptures, you and I are going to need that strength in the days that are coming upon the world. Finally, let me give you four words to take from this message. They flashed a little while ago subliminally. I will flash them again and leave them up there. Four words. If you remember nothing else I said, remember these four words. Be on the alert. Yeshua said it several times. Paul said it several times. Peter said it as well. There are two main reasons you need to be on the alert. The first is this. You need to be on the alert because you have a fearsome enemy who would devour you and those you love. He works through deception. He's absolutely ruthless, and you need to be wise to his tactics. The second reason is this. You need to be on the alert because Messiah Yeshua is returning to earth, and you are not privy to when that is. You simply need to be alert at all times and doing what he wants you to be doing. O Lord God of Israel, please grant us reverence for you that leads to a disciplined and holy life. Please grant us love for you that leads to unwavering loyalty and enables us to have joy despite the adversity that comes our way. Lord, please grant us strength and resolve that leads to perseverance for that day. Help us, Father, to be ever on the alert and devoted to you and to your kingdom. We ask these things through the name of your Son, our risen and soon coming Redeemer, Messiah Yeshua. Amen.